gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John O'Lobster. In 2010, Facebook was an internet success story, a social network of 500 million members, all poking their friends and playing Farmville, and the creation, co-creation, of the world's youngest billionaire, Mark Zuckerberg. 10 years later, Facebook is still the largest social network in the world, with over 2 billion members, but it has been plagued by controversy, from privacy invasion to election interference. In 2010, The Social Network, written by Aaron Sorkin and directed by David Fincher, scored 8 Oscar nominations and won 3. But now, 10 years later, are we still friends with this docudrama? Beef, I want to go to you first, because you said last week, network, although it was all of the inner workings of this media empire, it was slow and boring to you.
Correct.
I don't think you can get much faster paced than Aaron Sorkin dialogue. What did you make of The Social Network?
Oh, this was way too fast paced and confusing. I had no like for it. No, I like this a lot. I'd seen it a handful of years ago with Wing, and then I forgot how much I liked it because it is the super spastic cuts of what the hell is his face, the director, and it is the back and forth
David
dialogue
Fincher, yep.
of Aaron Sorkin, which
right.
I mean, it is, the whole movie flies at a good pace, and I mean, you don't really even get to breathe much, so I enjoyed it. Yeah, but the doc, or the I'm reading here and I'm trying to talk, the dialogue itself is, it's a masterclass on shit talking and conveying a lot of stuff with just dialogue, you know what I mean? A backstory, if you will. Like the sure. opening sequence.
That's my favorite line of the movie, is the first line of the movie, because it says so much. The writer says to everybody, that's not what happened. Because this is not the exact story. I mean, he had the same girlfriend for years, and a couple of details have been changed here and there. So there's also metatext that tells you, you know how Facebook is full of fake news? A lot of this is.
Yeah.
And I love it.
What's interesting about this movie, and I almost said story. Well, okay. So what's interesting about this, comparing it to Network, and the reason why I think it's so interesting to do these two films in particular back-to-back. So you had in Network, and I'm going to wax philosophical here for a minute, bear with me. You had in Network a television writer who was paired with an actor's director, right? The very theatrical, and I don't mean theatrical in terms of the drama, but theatrical in terms of the staging. The way that Sidney Lumet staged Network and rehearsed Network was very much what they do in a theater, right? And Paddy Chayefsky was coming in with his background in writing television, and he knew the industry and so on. Okay. The Social Network is David Fincher, who is really a cinematographer's director, right? His thing is putting together artful shots, and he does it again and again and again here and in his other films. And you're pairing that with a writer who is a theater writer. Aaron Sorkin got his start writing plays, transferred over to television and some films, but most notably The West Wing, right?
Yes.
Which is kind of like what you think of when you think of Aaron Sorkin. You think The West Wing and Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. No, you probably don't think of that because, you know why. So what's so interesting about that is obviously it worked with Network, at least for Wing and I and the rest of the, you know, film critics. They saw what came together in Network as working very well. The Social Network, again, you think, well, you know, there's no scriptwriter and director different than Aaron Sorkin and David Fincher, right? Like, they're two very distinctive styles. It would be like pairing, Quentin Tarantino's writing
with, let's say, oh, I don't know, who directed 50 Shades of Grey, right? Like, I don't know. It's like two very different styles, and they're portraying different things. That was a bad analogy, but you get my point. They're different, right?
Yeah,
so where you're coming from. What works here so well is this is not a television episode, right? It's a movie. But on the other hand, it's a movie about people and petty interpersonal squabbles, right? But it's also about one of the biggest companies in the world. And what I think this movie does so well is it gets in the nitty-gritty very much so, right? Like, you're there in the little sniping back and forth and the lines and the depositions. I mean, let's not forget that this movie is doing the thrilling feat of cutting back and forth between two different legal depositions. Wow, thrilling stuff. In other words, it's what Aaron Sorkin says. He does very well. He writes people talking in rooms. And meanwhile, David Fincher is saying, whoa, 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 this happened at Harvard. This happened in Hollywood. This happened on the River Thames or wherever. They're rowing their boats. Like, we can do something cool and cinematic with this as well to play up the stakes and the drama and everything. We can still have the very much West Wing-y legalese interpersonal squabbles, but we can also have this really sort of epic feel to the film, which I think it pulls off.
Yeah.
I mean, it does feel very personal, even with all of the legal back and forth and the shit you really don't have a stake in.
Well, the back and forth with the legal stuff, if you look overall, that's around 7 to 8 minutes of screen time. So it's a fun bridge to move you through time. And that's where the movie, I think, is genius, is that they found ways to move you through time here and there and make sure that the action came from the dialogue and not just the editing. One of the example that was given from the script doctor, because go figure, there's a script doctor on this, is that when they're building the first night where they do a face mash, and they're drinking beer, so they're basically opening the mini fridge, taking two beer, giving them to people, opening them. That's basically what's happening. In the script, they were making screwdrivers. There are way more little things to do, but then all of a sudden, the action is now based on a mundane action, which you do in a TV show. But in the movie, that's why they changed it to beer, just to make the center of the action, the interaction between these characters. The score also is...
Guess what I listened to right before I tuned in with you guys. I listened to the soundtrack, which I still had on my computer from 2010.
Did he win an Oscar for this?
I definitely did, yeah. Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, two rock musicians, won Best Soundtrack for this film. Nominated for 8 Oscars, won for screenplay and music and... Oh, I have it right here. Sound... mixing. Yes, sound mixing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm sorry, no. They were nominated. They won Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Original Score, and Best Film Editing. Okay, yeah, I could see that even more.
Oh, that makes sense a lot because, yeah, that's where this movie is.
It's all in the cut.
Yeah, this is one of my top 5 favorite movie. The flow of this thing, I don't care about. And that's the thing, I didn't see this in theater. I didn't care about Facebook.
Yeah,
I just didn't care about the fucking Facebook movie. Who the hell would care about the story of freaking Facebook?
I did. I went and saw it in theaters. I don't know. I don't remember why either. I just remember being interested in it and wanting to see the film. And I liked David Fincher, so I thought, well, this will be cool to see, right? I like Aaron Sorkin. I like the guy from Zombieland, right? Like,
yeah.
Why not go see this? And it had Andrew Garfield, Peter Parker, well, not quite yet, but
That was his big breakout role.
Yeah, it was, because
after that, I was like, oh my God, this guy. Because he's awesome in this movie.
They had Justin Timberlake, JT, right? He's bringing sexy back.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those films, and it also hits me a little bit in the nostalgia button because I was in college at this exact time. Like, let's see, fall of 2003, I was a sophomore in college. So I got it, and I went to not an elite school, but like a, you know, not a Harvard, but, you know, the Harvard of the SUNY system. So, you know, a state college. I got it. And I remember, so I'm going to play my nerd card for the night right now. I was in Model UN in college, and we went to a conference hosted by Harvard University. And this was 2004, 2005, right? And everyone was talking about Facebook, and it had not made it yet to our campus. So they were at the college, people, you know, from all these different schools were like, oh, Facebook me, you know, whatever. And we're like, what? What's this? And a couple months later, we got Facebook. It was a big deal.
Wow. Did you like get an invite or something?
Yeah. So, I mean, before Facebook was for everybody, it was for colleges, and it was for a specific number of schools, and it rolled out kind of slowly. So it took a while for really most colleges to be on board. And then I think they opened it to, what, high school students and then everybody. And then, yep. I mean, once your mom's on Facebook, it kind of lost its luster.
Good point. That's a very good point. That's basically where I dropped out. I was like, okay.
No, it's just rants and marketing and sharing exactly. pictures. It's really sharing pictures is all that it's worth.
Russian bots and cat pictures and whatever. And I've made the mistake of joining, like, after we bought our house, I joined like the local community Facebook. And that was a mistake, right? Like, you know, just see neighbors bitching about each other and, you know.
You all are crazy.
You're all crazy. Yeah. But I think this movie is, again, we're 10 years removed from this movie. And this movie is about eight years out from the events that it's talking about. But still, look where we've come from then. Zuckerberg has testified in front of Congress. He got married to an Asian girl. I loved that joke in the movie. When I'm like, oh shit. Like, he actually did marry an Asian girl.
That's it. They wrote that joke because he was with her for years, even during that movie.
Okay. Well, there
that's
you go.
That's what I'm saying there. That when I say that's not what happened, but a little bit of it, the story of the girlfriend doesn't exist. All that is dramatization.
Got it. But again, the movie kind of makes fun and makes light of it. Now, yes. I think it does make Zuckerberg out to be a bad guy, right? Like, he's the hero and the villain of the piece.
He's not necessarily a bad guy, and I'm not going for the Wreck-It Ralph quote, right? He's dumb. Just an impersonal dick. He's not really, it's just he doesn't get people and he doesn't care. I mean, the pushing his friend out, yeah, but he had another guy kind of harping in his ear. I mean, I wouldn't say he's a bad guy. He's just not, I don't know, he's not bad Gandhi. Guy. Yeah, he's not Gandhi.
He's not Gandhi.
He's not evil with a big E or even evil with an E. He's just kind of douchey, you know?
Well, as the movie's tagline told us, you don't get to 500 million friends without making a few enemies.
Just a little bit. Just some enemies. Oh, my God. I'm not sure I would want all that fame the way he got it. Like, I don't want to testify in front of your Congress. I've seen these guys.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of clowns.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting. And, I mean, obviously, when you think about it, it is this movie and the story of Facebook itself is the law of unintended consequences, right? Like,
yep.
You created a cool gizmo and you wanted your friends, you know, basically the movie argues, you know, we did this all so we could get laid, right? Or we could be in the prestigious club. And from that, and whatever the motivations, from that spawned a multi-billion dollar company that, you know, may or may not be mining all of our personal data, allowing foreign governments to misinform our citizenry and interfere with elections. It's addicting to people. People have committed suicide. Facebook has probably caused murders. And in the case of Philandro Castile, live streamed a murder by a police officer. So, I mean, it's just staggering to think about. And I spent a lot of the movie thinking, all right, what is Social Network 2? And when is that coming out? Because I think we kind of need the update, right?
Yeah, but who's the story? That's the thing, because it, like you said, it became boring. But then we add like the Snowden story, and now what's the next step? I'm sorry to say, but I think that's the Trump story, and we're not done yet. So
yeah, no, it's crazy. I don't know. I don't know where it goes from here. And you know, I guess even when this movie came out, obviously Facebook was a big deal. I don't know if we reckoned it would be still as big of a deal as it is, or an even bigger deal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you
mean. What did you think in 2010?
Well, I'd never thought Google would own me, but they do. So
Google owns you, yes.
You know,
I mean, I'm sure it'll still keep evolving in some way, but I don't. I think we're all kind of done with the social media aspect of it. I mean, people don't go here to really share things unless it's friends and family. If you're going to, like, you know, you go to Instagram or Twitter or whatever to actually portray, I don't know, a bigger footprint. This is just, I don't know, at least for me anyways, Facebook is just, you know, whatever. It's not going to change enough other than just being more political trolling and shit.
Right.
Do you remember when we were using Twitter as our personal chat room?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Things have changed.
I think you're right. I think, I mean, this talks about MySpace and Friendster and LiveJournal and lots of services that aren't with us anymore. My dear beloved Google Plus shut down last year. Like, I mean, these things are ever evolving. Facebook and Twitter seem to be the ones that have stayed with us. I mean, Beef, I know you're aware, probably one of your favorite social networks, Tumblr. It's not what it used to be.
Died, yeah, with all the restrictions and the new rules. I mean, where do you go? After a while, Facebook or MySpace died and became like a weird music site, and then it died again and they lost all their data. I mean, all these things are changing. I think Facebook sticks around because of the fact that they did get their hooks in college kids, right?
Yeah.
Young people 10, 12, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, that had their whole future ahead of them, and it was a networking thing. So they do use it to keep in touch, and they do use it to share pictures. And that's, other than that, that's why I think it's going to stick around. Most kids nowadays aren't joining it for, you know, other than to hate on people.
I mean, that's one of the things I'll tell my grandkids, right? Is I was in the first generation to use Facebook, right? And then they'll say, oh, you mean our overlord, Lord Zuckerberg, and then they'll, you know, delete me or whatever, you know, because I'm the last of the resistance. So,
you wish.
So, again, like, I think this movie does a cool thing where, like, who's the cool guy? Who's the cool guy? It's Sean Parker from Napster. Like, you know, you guys remember Napster?
Yes, I did so much Napster in the days.
It's just another kind of interesting throwback in this film where, oh, well, actually what he's arguing makes sense, that he did change the music industry. You want to buy an Empire Records or a Tower Records? No. Like, but I don't know if it was actually he changed the music industry, because this is a weird thing. How do I listen to music now? On YouTube. It's like the dumbest thing, but it's just there, and I'll just pull up a video of a song I want to listen to.
But
which
he,
is,
I mean, he didn't Qwerty Fingers change it. It was at a tipping point.
Forced
or,
it to yeah, evolve.
It was close to a tipping point. He just shoved it over the edge, and it kind of, he kind of directed it, if you will, to a streaming downloading type setup.
Yeah, he ended physical media.
You fucker.
Sorry, Beef.
I know that's a thing. I hate all of you. Stop it. Don't stop telling me about physical media.
I know that's a thing. I know that's a thing with you. But you're right. I mean, he did push it over the cliff towards its inevitable demise. But at the same time, it wasn't necessarily Napster. I think it was the MP3 format, but that was commodity. Very quickly by iTunes and iPod and all that, and then it evolved into streaming. And now, I mean, forget physical media, forget even owning the file, you just stream it on Spotify or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was bitching about at the start of this show. Like, I'm trying to buy music, I'm really trying to give you my money, I don't know how.
Right.
And I'm not interested in your Spotify where I can stream all day. I listen to three bands. I don't need the subscription service. Christ's sake. Arr, get on my lawn.
You're not wrong, though. I mean, it is a problem, and it's, I don't know. If there are bands you follow, I tend to just go to their websites and buy their music, like, direct from them. Yep. And sometimes they'll send you a physical CD anyway. So,
yeah, CDs.
And in fact, Amazon for a while, if you, I don't know if this is still the case, but if you bought a CD, you would get the digital download for free. And they did that for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, and the music was the big thing. They were doing that. But yeah. I don't know where Amazon Music is now in all this bullshit, because that's the problem. It's the same problem that we have with streaming services for movies. Everybody has their own artist, and you need like 28 subscriptions to be...
And NBC is going to buy Vudu. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So
what does that mean?
Well, it means if you have Vudu, which Walmart, I think, owns, then I think NBC's going to own it. So
okay, but my library should still be there, right?
I don't know.
It's not really mine. I share it with Kevin, but I've put money into it. God damn it.
You and Kevin and NBC, man.
No, they're not going to stroke Kevin and I part of the check for the $1,000 in movies and kid shows we have in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Should we set
can
our relationship
back to
status?
Stroking something for kids shows? I'm not sure what we're talking about there.
Should we set our relationship status?
What should we set our relationship status to? I'm the CFO. I don't even know how to change my relationship status. You should take it as a sign of trust that I'm telling you this.
I don't know, man. She's crazy. She scares me. Like, seriously, she scares me. She's going to harm me.
All right, Beef. Do it one more time.
Let's set our relationship status. Wing, for The Social Network, are you going legendary?
Cooler than $1 million.
Legend of its time.
I'm CEO, bitch.
Cult legend.
Boys in the hoodie.
Awesome.
Here's mud in your Winklevi.
Entertaining.
Click the link and get in sync.
Mabble.
It's complicated.
Forgettable.
You have part of my attention. You have the minimum amount.
Abysmal.
This account has been blocked.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Catfish.
With the side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, and tears.
With the side of Gentlemen of Harvard.
Harvard.
We have Gentlemen of Harvard. We have Gentlemen of Harvard.
Yeah, are they all assholes?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, they're rich assholes.
They are, for sure.
Rassholes.
Yeah, this, for me, personally, this is a legendary movie. It's my top five movie of all time. I can watch this movie. I've read the script. I've listened to any piece of media that I could find about this movie. it's one of my favorite. It's my favorite script to read. And when you go from the script to movie, it's amazing that's even better, because usually it's not. So, yeah, for me, this is cooler than $1 million.
Mm.
No, it's not. But okay, that's what he wrote. Okay, just be clear. If you want to give me $1 million, I'll take it. Okay, beef.
I have to watch this more times because I've only seen it twice now, and I really, really was entertained by it, and I really enjoyed it. But I think it's better than that. I think it's here's mud in your Winklevi, at least an awesome. The dialogue is second to none. It's witty. It's fun. It's shit-talking. It's probably exactly, because it is, how a friendship would fall apart during a lot of, you know, cash transactions and shit like that. Yep. I don't know.
I mean, they were business. The Beatles. They were the Beatles, right? And Justin Timberlake was Yoko Ono?
I think the analogy fits. I think the analogy fits, except he wasn't walking him home while he got shot. But, yeah. Yes, I got to go awesome, and upon more rewatches, it'll go higher. I'm glad I did purchase it on something that apparently is not going to be mine anymore.
Ooh,
soon.
So, the voodoo running from my magic.
Running from my money. Running from my collection. Lobster?
Wow. So this is tough for me. I saw this in the theaters, and then I liked it, but it didn't stick with me. And I had to go back and rewatch it to get ready for this podcast. And this is like a weird thing. Like, as I thought about rewatching it, I thought about parts of the movie that I could remember. And then I thought about, oh, I liked this movie. And then I rewatched it and I was like, yeah, this is a good movie. And I gotta put this in the historical fiction category, right? Like, I have no illusions. They've done documentaries now about the kind of the early years, and it's not the way it's portrayed. This is definitely a dramatization, but there's like, if they came to you and they said, "Beef Wing, we're gonna do the movie of your life," okay?
Why would you do that? We're going to do a movie
about the first years of Legends Podcast, now that the podcast is 10 years old this year. And you'd say, great, cool. Who are you going to have direct it? And they're like, David Fincher. And you go, okay, right? The head in the box guy? Sure. Okay. And then you're like, well, who are you going to have write it? And they're like, Aaron Sorkin. And you do a happy dance. You're like, yes. Yes, because like that's who you want to write the story, because he'll make it freaking interesting. Aaron Sorkin can take the proceedings of the Supreme Court, the inner workings of Congress, the backroom deals of the Oval Office, the inside of a sports TV show or a comedy variety show, and make them freaking interesting and topical and relevant, and every scene has the same bits of dialogue where people aren't on the same page and they're talking about one thing but they mean another, and then the other character says, "You mean that one thing?" and the other character says, "No, I mean the other thing." They're all the friggin' same scenes, and they walk and talk. But he does such a great job at this. I think this movie is a legend of its time. I don't know if there's a more interesting behind the scenes of a tech company movie. I heard good things about the Steve Jobs movies, but I don't think they got to this point of goodness where this film sits. I think this film is really well done. I don't care in the end that it's not super historically accurate, because at this point it's a fairy tale, right? Like, at this point, Facebook has become, depending on which side you fall on, the evil empire or the magic kingdom. Every creation myth needs a devil, so The Social Network is the perfect movie for that. Legend of its time. I'm CEO, bitch.
All right, last word on The Social Network.
Network?
How much have they diluted your shares?
Were they portraying What's-His-Face as a pedophile?
Yep.
It's not polite to ask how old they are.
Okay, Dad.
Beef time is it?
Nose time.
Okay, so we're on a bit of a short week. We recorded last Wednesday and recording today on Monday, so we don't have a ton of news, but we do have our box office returns for the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog in first place again.
Getting all them rings.
Getting all them rings. And then The Call of the Wild sits in number two.
Which was this place. One?
Oh, shit. The Harrison Ford and the CGI dog?
Ugh. Yeah, this is when the shrooms wear off and you realize you're not a smuggler with a Wookiee traveling across the galaxy. You're just an old man and a dog.
That's a good point.
Oh, I thought this was when he took the shrooms.
He took the shrooms, yeah. The Call of the Wild, based on the Jack London novel. All of the complaints I saw about this film were, it's not a bad movie, but the dog looks weird. Like, it's a good movie. They should have used a real dog. Obviously, they do a lot of crazy stuff with the dog, which explains why they couldn't use a real dog. But at the same time, it looks freaking weird.
Yeah, that kills it for me.
Uncanny Valley.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see. So moving into news. So Sony Pictures Television is going to develop a Doc Savage series. Doc Savage, one of the original pulp heroes.
Yeah. Okay. Topical and timely, I guess.
I think that's something that they think people remember. I'm not sure people remember Doc Savage that much.
He's got one hell of a 34-pack, though, under his shirt.
Yeah, he's going to be The Rock, right? Something like that?
Yeah,
or one point it was supposed to be The Rock?
Yeah, because Doc Savage is like Buckaroo Banzai.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's good at everything.
He's perfect.
And he's trying everything and all that stuff. So, yeah. I don't think that's going to be good. But, hey.
You don't think it's going to be good?
Nope.
Okay.
Good luck for them.
Good luck to them. That's a good attitude. Good luck. Yeah. Good luck with that.
I wish them the best movie.
So I don't know if you guys have watched Schitt's Creek at all.
Lacking
it's a funny
a
show.
No.
Mm-hmm. No, okay. It's a very funny show. It's a Canadian series wing, so you should get on board with that.
It's English Canada. They're all assholes.
That's true. But it's a bunch of assholes from Second City and SNL and stuff like that, or sons nice. Of them, so that's fun. So Annie Murphy, who's one of the leads, is going to be in an AMC series as Schitt's Creek is wrapping up this year. So it's going to be called Kevin Can F Himself. There was a show with Kevin James called Kevin Can Wait, and it was famous for what? Do you guys know?
No.
Okay. So Kevin James, of course, starred in the television comedy King of Queens with Leah Remini, played his wife, right? And so in the show Kevin Can Wait, he was married to a different actress, or married to somebody played by a different actress, and the ratings weren't that great. So in between seasons, they killed the wife and brought in Leah Remini to boost the ratings.
That's funny.
So basically, that caught a lot of flack. And so this show's called Kevin Can F Himself. So we'll see. I mean, it should be interesting, right? CBS is planning an improved streaming service. It won't be all access. It will be more access or something.
Or something.
I mean, this is the only show that they have on, I guess, all the freaking CSIs and crap.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, CBS All Access was supposed to be all of the CBS Plus stuff, plus Star Trek and all that. So, like, what are you improving upon? You're really just rebranding, but you're going to get people to sign up for something new, cancel the old thing, and then...
They're eating their own tail. This is ridiculous. But, hey, if they want to do some stupid shit, good for them.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about streaming, because we've compared them to cable in the past, right? But the thing about streaming is you can just delete your channel and start a new one. You don't have to be like, oh, what was it? Was it TNN? Is now Spike TV, Television for Men, right? It went from basically a country western channel to Television for Men. And, like, you just rebrand the station. But, like, you can just cancel your streaming service and have it be something else. Like, HBO Max is probably going to wipe out DC Universe online or whatever.
It's going to eat it. That's yeah. For sure.
So, HBO Max, how are they going to get your money? Well, they're going to have that Friends reunion that you've been pining for.
I haven't even thought about it or cared.
I haven't even thought about it. It's not going to be on the NBC streaming network because that's not owned by NBC. It's owned by Warner Brothers, so it'll be on HBO, even though you don't think, when you think Friends, you don't think HBO, but whatever.
Well, you're going to have to, you know, if you want your Friends.
Do you?
I have them on DVD. I don't give a hell. I just can watch them.
Do you want them to reunite?
Not the way they're talking about it. I mean, I don't need them to sit in a room and reminisce and being paid $2.5 million. Do something else with that money, for Christ's sake.
You should just have them in a room, and whoever is the last one alive gets the $2.5 million.
Now we're talking.
I'd pay to watch. See, that I would actually watch. That's the Friends reunion I want.
Yep.
Six friends enter.
One leaves, probably with stumps.
You could call it Friends the Unfriending, speaking of Facebook.
Old friend.
New enemy. There's a new Star Wars movie in the works, guys.
Yay. Honestly, I don't care. We're going to hear about 70 more, and then one will come out, and then we'll see it, right? Like,
well, but they're going to fire three director first.
Yeah, but I mean,
Yeah, maybe they're going
to start. They're still working on those six prequels to Game of Thrones, too.
No, that's...
I know, yeah. That's my point.
It's all bullshit. I mean, they've pulled the trigger too many times on...
Do you remember the trilogy to Jumper?
Oh, yeah, that was good. Oh, wait.
Oh.
Okay, never mind.
So, the other thing about this... new Star Wars movie is they're like, okay, there's a new Star Wars movie, but they haven't even said it's going to be in theaters, it's going to be on Disney Plus, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. They're just like, we hired a guy who I don't know, so
we swear we're doing stuff,
can't wait to see that. Woohoo!
Speaking of stuff, did you guys see the like 5-minute behind the scenes technical thing that they showed about how they've been filming The Mandalorian with the 270 degree like 30-foot tall LED wall?
No. Yeah, their portable green screen?
No.
They're fully immersive?
No, but it's not a portable green screen. It's a...
Their TVs.
Yeah, it's an LED wall. It's ceiling and everything. It's beautiful. It's amazing, and it's literally going to change filming. Because
now you don't have to imagine in front of a green screen. It's... there.
Yeah, they build it all in a 3D real engine for video games, all souped up, and then if you want that mountain bigger or smaller, you just stretch it in the engine and it changes in the background. You can have a 10-hour sunset or sunrise to work in front of. I don't know. I didn't think it would look that good, but in this 5-minute clip, you're like, wow, I get it.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And they can you don't have to act to a little
right.
Tennis ball, right?
Tennis ball on a stick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the person, the people would actually be there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's nuts. It's amazing for technology. And that's going to cost them way less.
Than flying everybody to the desert.
Yeah, so maybe they're going to stop doing stupid shit like spending $180 million on Terminator, you know?
I like that one. Anyways.
I like that one too, but they spent too much money on it. Do we agree? That's why we're not going to get another one.
For a year or two. Okay, we agree. Star Wars Project Luminous? Huh? What? Huh?
Yeah, so this is another bit of Star Wars news. I really don't have much to say other than there is a multimedia project in the works. They're going to actually announce it, I believe, the night that we're recording. So later tonight, they're going to announce what it is. It's supposed to be one cohesive story told through books, comics, including releases from Disney Lucasfilm Press, Del Rey Marvel, and IDW. So the last time they really did something like this was Shadows of the Empire, which was kind of the multimodal release where they had everything but the movie. They had a book, a comic, a video game, an action figure line, all to tie in with Prince Xizor and Dash Rendar and all that.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool. It looks like they're going to do something similar. I don't know if this will be a jumping off point towards something greater, although my theory is, based on what they've teased so far, it's about creating artificial force powers, and that seemed to be hinted at in The Mandalorian, so we'll see.
Huh, that's interesting. Okay. Sure. Why not?
Let's talk about trailers.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to do movie trailers first and end with TV this week?
Yeah.
Okay. So we had one new movie trailer. It's called Run from Lionsgate, not to be confused with the TV show Run we talked about last week on HBO. So this is a horror film. You guys into it?
Nope.
I like the crazy mother or whatever. She's from Deadwood.
Sarah Paulson.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think why I like it is because she's creepy in this trailer. So
sure.
What about you? You think it's good or bad or
not my kind of thing, but
all right. Well, creepy it is.
Okay. Okay. So
we really don't care. Okay.
So the next thing we cannot care about. No, we might actually care about this. Transformers War for Cybertron Trilogy Siege, the first installment, coming to Netflix.
I hate these coming soon. Give me a fucking date. That's all I'm asking. I'm seeing this and I'm like, okay, I'm down. I'm ready. Give it to me. When? Soon. Fuck you.
Coming soon.
Netflix also has an Altered Carbon anime coming out soon series.
And of course, they have Castlevania.
Castlevania as well. This
and a bunch of Godzilla stuff.
Cybertron, this thing looks good. It is nostalgic for me because it seems clunky like the old actual animated ones. Yeah. But it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't feel right. I'll still watch it.
Does it feel right to you? I know, Wing, you've been absorbing some Transformers lore recently.
Yes, it does, actually. And you can see what they're trying to adapt. And even if you're that deep, which toy line they're using to model the,
right.
the 3D. And they hired Polygon to do that, which is a very good sign. So, no, I'm excited. I'm very excited because right now I've been watching. We'll talk about it at the end.
Okay, so the next thing is Bad Education, which is an HBO. I think it's a movie, but it has Hugh Jackman and Allison Janney, and it's about a corrupt school superintendent, something like that.
Is it a movie? What is it?
It's hard to tell with this stuff sometimes.
It looks interesting. I just don't know what it's gonna
Yeah.
It's Hugh Jackman, so, I mean, he's an actor. I'd try to give it a try.
This is kind of the oldest we've seen him look. Did you guys pick up on that,
yes.
too? I mean, he looks like he...
Hasn't done...
You know,
he looks.
Yeah, like, his healing factor stopped working.
Yeah, he hasn't done a Wolverine movie in a few years, so...
Yeah. Yeah, well, there you go. So, the next one's kind of interesting. So, I know you were complaining about the coming soon. How about a trailer for something you can watch right now? A Swedish film called Beforeiners.
Is it? I think it's a show, isn't it? Swedish show?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, show. Thank you.
This looks like a lot of fun. Basically, all of a sudden, a shit ton of people show up in, what'd you say, Swedish? They all show up in Sweden,
yeah.
But they're from all throughout time.
They show up in the modern world.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you have like a Viking chick and random people, and so they basically, it's basically to deal with a commentary on like the immigration thing over there.
Yes.
And I don't know. I think it looks interesting.
They're immigrants from another time period.
Correct. Same damn people, all humans. It's how silly. It's to point out how fucking silly a lot of our weirdness is with all this. So
imagine if we're not human.
Or how technology has corrupted our lives and we're all babies and can't fend for ourselves when, you know, people were surviving and having babies in dirt floor huts and
All that. I like a dirt floor hut. Wait, what?
Okay, good. All right. Beef, we have one more trailer to talk about. We've been building up to it. There's some squeeing.
No, squeeing involved.
Okay.
All right. By the way, so we've been speaking for the last few months about a tiny little show that we do on the side, westworldweekly.com. And many trailers have come out for Westworld Season 3 after the typical year and a half to 2 year hiatus. And this is probably, what, the third trailer we've gotten. It's by far.
Yeah.
The most beautiful. It tells us, it gives us the most hints at the outer world. Oh my God, the freaking Sweet Child of Mine in piano. The music's going to be killing it again this year. I have a tiny little nerd-rection right now.
Mm. If your nerd-rection lasts longer than 4 hours.
If your nerd-rection lasts longer than a season of Westworld.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready. Just under a month.
Yep.
Do we agree that we were like, they need to do something different? And
yes.
They did something different?
Yeah.
Well, they've been hinting at world building, which is kind of the interesting idea of the show, is to emphasize the world part of Westworld. And, this is Blade Runner, RoboCop, Terminator, The Matrix.
It's all
everything
of it.
Is here. A little bit of Battle Angel Alita with Maeve. Being the assassin who's going to hunt them down, and like Blade Runner. Did I say Blade Runner?
You did. I mean, they got, you know, it's all not post apocalyptic. It's using the shit right. They got the greenhouses or whatever, the shit growing on the buildings, and then you got this old. I'm like, it's just, there's hints at the timeline with the man in black or William in black's blown off fingers, and oh my God, and what's going on? Oh man,
yeah. Yeah, no, it looks cool. It feels cool. It feels timely too. Like let's give us a future and let's figure that out, you know.
Yeah, I'm sick of kind of the, it's a future, ooh, there's a couple magical things to show you that it's future, who knows if they're science or magic, and then everything else is either poorly lit or dingy or nothing has ever shown.
Right.
So I want a full front, I want a full frontal future for once.
Ooh. Can they do that on HBO?
It's HBO. They can. I think they can. It's got to be after.
All right.
It's got to be after 11, though.
After dark, yeah. So that is our rundown of news items. Now it's time for everyone's section of the show, where we tell you what else we've been doing. What else have we been doing, Beef?
Well, I would like to take a second here for a moment of silence for Katherine Johnson, the mathematician from Hidden Figures, passed away at 101.
101.
Yes, that too. Not.
Holy moly!
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, smart. Apparently, smarts will keep you ticking.
Sure.
But other than that, I've been watching some shittiness. The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia.
Okay, go on.
This was a documentary that they did, Johnny Knoxville did years ago, that they followed a basically outlaw-style family in West Virginia, the Whites. And they're just thieving, drug-using,
right?
Middle of nowhere. And it's an interesting look into different lifestyle and culture. And being someone who had an extreme problem with Oxycontin, seeing all these people from back in the day just going to town on their prescription drugs and thinking nothing would ever come of it was very sad and kind of entertaining in its own disgusting way. So,
and where could we find this if we wanted to?
Everywhere, but I think you have to rent it for like $2 or $3.
Okay.
It was on Netflix for a while. I know it does the normal rotation, Netflix and Amazon,
right.
every once in a while. But
maybe it's on Vudu. We don't know.
It's basically the all the hill folk from Justified is what this show is.
Okay. Down in the holler.
Exactly. Lobster, what about you?
I've been watching a reality TV show on Fox called Lego Master.
Wait a minute.
So, yes, go on.
Like, they're building Legos.
They are building with Lego.
Wings' idea of this show has turned around fully now. Go on.
This is hosted by Will Arnett, who you would know as the voice of Lego Batman. It is a reality competition series involving teams of partners. So it's two people working on a team together, and they are given building challenges. So in the first episode, they had to build a piece of an amusement park that all fit together at the end, and then each area had its own theme and story. In the second episode, they had to build something that was then either destroyed by baseball bat, explosives, or dropping off a balcony, and it had to explode in a fun and cool way. And in the most recent one, they had a normal object that was then cut in half, and they had to build the other half with Lego, but improve on it and make it exciting and fun. So really, really fun kind of, if you're into those reality competition shows at all, this is kind of a fun twist on that. And obviously there's, you know, the normal drama of, who's going to get eliminated this week and so forth. But it's well hosted by Will Arnett. I think he's got a talent for this kind of stuff, and it's fun to watch.
Huh.
We also started watching on Netflix and Hulu NBC's Good Girls, which has Christina Hendricks, Mae Whitman, and Retta. And it's basically a female-led Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad light, though. So I have to say we've watched about a season and a half so far. I'm not a huge fan, but it does have some interesting bits to it.
Very cool.
And finally, I've been reading the X-Men comic Marauder. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with what's going on in the X universe at the moment. So basically what's happened is the mutant island of Krakoa has become a mutant sanctuary, and the resurrected Charles Xavier, along with five other mutants, have created what are called the resurrection protocols, which is the ability to bring back to life any mutant who's died. So mutants are now basically immortal, and Krakoa has begun exporting disease-curing and life-extending drugs to the rest of humanity. So basically now the mutants are the richest and most powerful demographic in the world, and they're functionally immortal. So all of the old sort of rivalries, Magneto, Apocalypse, Mr. Sinister, the Hellfire Club, they're all on the same team now, literally.
Wow.
And so what happens in a world like that is there are some countries who are going to resist, and they won't allow mutants to escape, or they won't allow the drugs in. So Marauders is a team formed by Kitty Pryde, Storm, Iceman, Pyro, Bishop, and the White Queen. And basically, it's the naval arm of the Hellfire Club. And I know I've gone a bit long in this description, so the bullet point for this book is it's X-Men on a pirate ship. So
why didn't you just say that?
Because I had to set the stage. So there's a bunch of new X books out, and this to me is kind of the most interesting and the most fun. Again, I've read through 8 issues so far, and it's a lot of fun. It comes out every other week or bi-monthly or whatever, so that's fun too.
That Wing? Sounds fun. Yeah, Wing, what you watching?
Well, I didn't have that much free time, but I've been like perusing Netflix a little bit and found that little Transformers show called Transformer Cyberverse, which started by being like very cartoony for kids, and then the Star Wars thing of cartoon happened. Like, as it went on, it became more about lore and all that. So that has been a lot of fun. It's a little 12-minute episode. It's perfect. You just like eat one and move on. It's amazing. So that has been a lot of fun. And I've been playing the new DLC of Fire Emblem. So that takes the rest of my time. That takes a lot of time, actually. So that's pretty cool. So that was a well-invested season pass when I bought that, like, in August last year. So keeps the gift that keeps on giving.
Cool.
That's been pretty much my week, but that was good.
Nice.
All right. So that's our rundown. And what do we have to look forward to?
Next time, Legends Podcast, El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie. I'm excited to watch this again, big time.
I haven't watched it yet, so.
Good.
Yeah, so what's interesting is, obviously, Better Call Saul is coming back for its final season, I do believe. And Mr. Jesse Pinkman is joining Westworld. So it felt like the time. I know we talked about this movie when it first came out, being kind of the unexpected Breaking Bad sequel, and I think it's time.
I really hope he's in Westworld season 3 for more than, you know, 2 or 5 episodes. I hope he's there for a little bit.
I hope he's able to show range in there, and then we start seeing him a little bit everywhere, because I think that's the thing. We haven't seen him doing range. I watched Need for Speed recently, and oh dear God.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Have a comment, question, or recommendation? Email us at legendspodcast@... Email us.
Nope. Say it again, because you missed the thing.
I know. Have a comment, question, or recommendation? Email us at legendspodcasts@gmail.com with an extra S at the end for social network. This has been episode 461 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, meh.
I'm John D saying, like.
I'm Lobster saying, poke.
Hey!
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast, plural. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada or GunnaGeek. No infringement is intended.